Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first, the Women's World Cup Football Tournament officially kicks off this Friday evening at 1900 hours UTC GMT. France will host South Korea in the opening match in Paris. Joining us now from Paris with a preview is Kwabena Quicksilver-Ofori.
The France 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup will kick off at Paris Parc des Princes after a short opening ceremony where host France will play Korea Republic in Group A game. In other Group A match on Saturday, the Super Falcons of Nigeria will face Norway in Rams. Also on Saturday, Group B opening matches will kick off and Germany will play Republic of China in Rennes, while Bayana of South Africa will face Spain in Le Havre. The other groups C to F opening matches spread across selected France cities will kick off from Sunday, and all group matches will end on June 20th, when it will be known which of the 24 teams qualify to the knockout phase. The grand finale is scheduled for July 7 in Lyon. Meanwhile, the three African representatives, Nigeria, Cameroon, and South Africa, took their training sessions at their match venues while prepared for their encounters. For Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting from Paris.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Kwabena mentioned Saturday's Women's World Cup match between Nigeria and Norway. Nicknamed Grasshoppen, or the Grasshoppers, the Norwegian women lifted the trophy at the 1995 Women's World Cup in Sweden. They will attempt to regain elite status without superstar Ada Hegerberg, the 23-year-old striker who last year became the inaugural recipient of the Women's Ballon d'Or Award, given to the world's best female player. Hegerberg has not represented her country since the 2017 Women's European Championship in a dispute over what she believes is unfair treatment of the women's program by the Norwegian Soccer Federation. Hegerberg's scoring power will be missed. She has 130 goals in five seasons for European champion Olympique Lyon, to go with 38 goals in 66 appearances for her country. The Super Falcons of Nigeria, meanwhile, go into Saturday's match against Norway, hoping to advance out of group play for the first time since 1999. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Women's World Cup news, FIFA's Director of Marketing, Jean-François Paty, says the tournament is now much bigger than the one 4 years ago in Canada, especially in terms of advertising.
Signage within one host city is one thing, but we've got other host cities across France that are doing a tremendous job supporting the event. The host cities is one thing. We have most of our sponsors that are really activating quite strongly about it. So, you know, if you go in retail, or you'll see the FIFA Women's World Cup. And again, that's a step up this year. Same on the broadcast. On the broadcast side, this year we'll have 206 broadcasters covering the event. So I think it's a development. Of course, we can always do better, but I think it's a tremendous improvement from where we've been in the past.
Elsewhere at the Women's World Cup, I'm sure the French women will have plenty of fan support this evening in Paris. The French ladies are considered legitimate championship contenders. If they were to lift the trophy on July 7th in Lyon, it would mark the first time the same country was the reigning World Cup champion in both men's and women's football. Our Voice of America football fans will remember the French men's team defeated Croatia 4-2 in last year's men's World Cup final in Moscow. Another big favorite at the Women's World Cup is the defending champion, United States. Joining us now with news about the USA team is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States heads into this year's Women's World Cup tournament poised to defend their championship title. But defender Kelly O'Hara reminded reporters it's a new year, a new tournament, and anything can happen on the way to the top.
With this team, 4 years apart for every World Cup, there's going to be a big turnover every time. So it's not like you're playing like this team is a dynasty. It's like this is a brand new team, 2019, compared to 2015. Yes, we have the same culture that transcends and connects all of us throughout time with the USWNT, but this is the first time these 23 players have gone on or are going to try to win a World Cup.
The squad hopes to clinch their fourth World Cup title, and star forward Alex Morgan says she'll draw strength from their appearance at the 2016 Rio Olympics, where they finished with a disappointing loss in the quarterfinals.
Well, I think for myself, at least, like 2016 was really big for this team because we bowed out so early and earlier than we ever have in a major tournament, really. So I definitely look upon that for like motivation and encouragement, because I never want to feel the way that I felt after that tournament. And so looking ahead now, I think that this team is more, the personnel is more from 16. So I think we have to look at how we can turn around and like continue to hold that number one ranking and like really prove, you know, what we've been working on and like what we could put forward in this tournament, like just show our best, like when the pressure is on. And I believe that we could do that. But for me, it's more drawing on 16 because I think that stings.
The women's national team found the perfect spot to prepare for this year's World Cup at the Tottenham Hotspur Training Center in London, and even found time to meet with the players of the Tottenham Hotspur women's team. Alex Morgan says staying on site at the Lodge has brought the women that much closer as a team.
I mean, I spend more time with these women than I do my husband or my real family. So they do become family, and we get to know each other, you know, on a deeper level. And it's great to be here at this training center, at Tottenham Training Center, and kind of take a step forward with these 23. We're calling them like our 22 best friends because there's 23 of us. And it's pretty awesome just to have like this step forward right before a major tournament. I think I have a lot of great relationships with a lot of my teammates, but just to take that step forward with some more is great. And it's like the perfect timing for us.
The Women's World Cup kicks off with an opening match between host country France and South Korea. The United States will play their first match on Tuesday against Thailand in a game many predict will be an easy one for the world number one U.S. team. But Kelly O'Hara says always expect the unexpected.
I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that might be considered dark horses and do really well. So I think that's what's great about the women's game, is that the gap between the top and the bottom has just continued to close over the years. And this is the tightest that it's ever been. So I think that at any point, any team could win. You know, when you start the tournament, anybody could be standing at the top at the end.
Nearly a million tickets have already been sold for the month-long tournament, 300,000 short of the total available. But they're going fast. Local organizers say they've been selling 15,000 tickets per day. Stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports for extended coverage of the 2019 Women's World Cup tournament going on right now through July 7th. And that does it for me. Sunny, back over to you. Have a great Women's World Cup weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a great Women's World Cup weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Paris is a hotbed for women's soccer this evening, and the City of Lights is also playing host to the French Open tennis tournament. Spanish star Rafael Nadal is now only one victory away from his record-extending 12th men's singles title after beating longtime rival Roger Federer on Friday. Rafa cruised to a straight sets victory in very windy conditions. The final score from Paris, 6-3, 6-4, and 6-2. Nadal spoke after his victory about the weather conditions.
The beginning of the match have not been the perfect level for both of us. But after six games, the match, I think, became a match with a good level of tennis. No, I have been some great points. And being honest, with that conditions out there, play the way that we played have been a great level of tennis because the conditions have been so tough.
Rafa also talked about the significance of playing Roger Federer in the semifinals of the French Open.
Well, the semifinals of Roland Garros is not just another match. No, that's the first thing. And then the half in front, probably my biggest rival on my career with all the story that we shared together. For me, during all my career, for him, during almost all his career with me, that always makes the match a little bit more special.
At the post-match news conference, Roger Federer also commented on the windy conditions.
But I think holding serve against the wind with Rafa's quality on the return, it's just really hard, you know. He barely misses any, and then when he's in the rally, obviously he plays with a great spin on the forehand, great sort of control on the backhand side, so it's just really hard to find the holes, especially, you know, in the wind if you're trying to hit through the ball, which is really difficult actually. But look, it was windy for both, so he was better, no doubt about it. But I had maybe mini chances today, but they were not big enough, you know, to win today.
And while he didn't win on Friday, Roger Federer says he's leaving Paris with very good memories.
Yeah, I thought it was a great tournament. I really enjoyed it. Crowd support couldn't have been better. Maybe one of the best ever in my entire 20-year career that I've been on tour at a Slam. You know, them always being there for me, supporting me in practice, at the matches, you know, on the grounds. Whenever I came and showed up, they were always happy to see me. So that was nice. In terms of playing, I think I played really actually well.
Swiss tennis star Roger Federer speaking in Paris after his loss Friday to Rafael Nadal in the semifinals of the French Open. Rafa will play the winner of the semifinal between Novak Djokovic and Dominic Thiem. In the ladies' singles final at the French Open, Markéta Vondrousova of the Czech Republic will play Ashley Ash Barty of Australia. Vondrousova defeated Johanna Konta of Britain on Friday, 7-5 and 7-6. And Barty beat 17-year-old American Amanda Anisimova in three sets, 6-7, 6-3, and 6-3. Joining us now on the show for some French Open tennis talk is Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. Ryan is working at the Voice of America this summer as an intern. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Great to have you on the program, Ryan. Let's start with Rafa, the king of the clay. Why is Rafa so dominant on that surface?
Well, Rafael Nadal is very athletic, quick, and agile, which is all the more important on a slower surface like clay, where players can't rely as much on their power. But credit also has to be given to Rafa's intelligence, since on clay, where play is slower and points take longer to develop, Nadal has even more ability to use his tennis experience to think several strokes ahead and set up a winner. Those skills have allowed Nadal to win 11 French Open titles and go for his 12th this weekend.
12 titles. Incredible, Ryan. We heard Rafa and Roger both comment on the windy conditions at Roland Garros. Did the wind help either player?
I definitely think that the wind helped Nadal in today's matchup, because Federer, who's 37 years old, is no longer as fast and agile as he once was. Nadal, on the other hand, is still as athletic as ever. So when today's wind caused balls to be sprayed to unexpected spots all over the court, Nadal had the speed to reach them, while Federer didn't.
Rafa will now await the winner of the semifinal between Novak Djokovic from Serbia and Dominic Thiem from Austria. How do you see a final, either Rafa Djokovic or Rafa Thiem?
Well, both Novak Djokovic and Dominic Thiem could be tough finals matchup for Nadal. A somewhat surprising statistic is that Rafa has only won 4 of his past 17 matches against Novak Djokovic. Granted, all 4 of those Nadal wins came on clay, but Nadal's last loss at the French Open came in 2015 to the Joker. With Djokovic on a hot streak, having won the last 3 majors, he can't be discounted. Don't sleep on young star Dominic Thiem either, though. The 25-year-old Austrian beat Nadal the last time the two played, which was in Barcelona on clay. Thiem is also a clay specialist, and the same skills that make Rafa great on clay apply to Thiem. Thiem made the French Open finals last year and is poised to capture his first major title. So no matter who Nadal takes on in the Roland Garros finals, expect him to face a much more difficult test than he did today.
As I mentioned earlier, Ryan, the ladies singles final, kind of two of the unheralded names in the women's draw. Markéta Vondrousová of the Czech Republic will play Ash Barty of Australia. Barty beat 17-year-old American Amanda Anisimova on Friday. Anisimova with just a really fun run at Roland Garros. Let's hear how she reflects on her 2-week tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, even though I'm obviously upset I lost, because I'm always upset if, like, I lose, because, you know, it's disappointing, but at the end of the day, I did make it to semifinals for the first time, so, I mean, it's a positive week for me. So, yeah, I'm just going to try and be happy about the couple weeks, and hopefully today I'll be a little bit happier than I am right now.
American tennis player Amanda Anisimova speaking Friday at the French Open. Ryan, I don't know a lot about this 17-year-old Anisimova. Tell our VOA listeners what you found out.
Well, at just 17 years old, Amanda Anisimova amazingly made the French Open semifinals. And despite losing in the semis to Ash Barty, she'll rise to 26th in the world after this tournament. That'll make her the only player under 18 in the women's top 100. Anisimova was born in New Jersey and is the daughter of Russian immigrants to the United States, and she's long been a stud on the junior circuit. Now is her time to shine on the pro level. With Serena and Venus Williams on the backsides of their careers, Anisimova truly has the potential to become the next great American tennis legend.
Well, Anisimova, maybe she will get that first Grand Slam title in the next few years, but for now, the final on the women's side in Paris, Ash Barty versus Markéta Vondrousová. How do you see the women's final, Ryan?
Well, there's a lot of variables in this one because compared to the star-studded men's final, we've got two relative unknowns vying for the women's title. Ash Barty is just 23 and Vondrousová is only 19. Barty's had an unconventional career. She's seen most of her success in doubles, having won the doubles title at the U.S. Open, and she actually signed with the professional cricket team a few years ago during a break from tennis. Vondrousová has come out of nowhere to make the finals. She only has one career WTA title and came into the tournament ranked 38th in the world. It's anyone's guess what'll happen in that match.
Interesting about Barty and the cricket, Ryan. I guess so she's got some multi-sports background.
Yeah, I'm sure that the athleticism that helped her play cricket is taking her far at the French Open.
All right, Ryan Handel. Ryan is a sports writer for the Brown Daily Herald, and he's working as an intern this summer at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Thank you, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, the late, great Muhammad Ali may have had a fear of flying, but Louisville's airport has a new name and a new logo to honor the former world heavyweight champion. Muhammad Ali was born in Louisville, and on Thursday, as part of Muhammad Ali Week, new branding for the airport was revealed. VOA's Alam Burhanan reports from Louisville.
No fight. Never worry about fights.
What do you worry about?
Nothing, really. Only bad airplane flights. No fights.
People say Muhammad Ali feared no boxer, but he did fear something else.
And I think about the plane splitting and the long fall, and I say, why did I have to rush? I could have took a bus. Oh, Lord, if you just let me off of here, I'll take a train the next time.
His fear of plane travel was well known.
He was afraid to fly, so, you know, that's just one of those things. Something he feared. It wasn't another man in the ring, I can tell you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Louisville, Kentucky.
Ironically, Ali's name is now a part of the aviation world.
So we thought it would be a fitting statement for us as a city to put, you know, an exclamation point with his name that, okay, Muhammad, now we're naming the airport after you. It's time for you to get over your fear of flying.
In January, the Louisville Regional Airport Authority Board voted to rename its international airport after the hometown legend.
A committee was formed. They met multiple times over the course of about a year and a half. And as they were going through these meetings, it really became apparent that the recognition of Muhammad Ali, the fact that he's from Louisville, that it made a lot of sense that this should be the Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport.
Ali was also known as an outspoken activist who converted to Islam and was convicted of draft evasion for refusing to be inducted into the army during the Vietnam War. The president of the Muhammad Ali Center says he hopes naming the airport after Ali will highlight his legacy.
So we want to make sure that the general public has a great understanding of why the airport was renamed and the importance that it represents to the Muhammad Ali Center, the family, the nation, and the world.
Ali was born and raised in Louisville and was buried here in 2016. This Kentucky city is still celebrating the man who became a global icon. Alam Burhanan, VOA News, Louisville, Kentucky.
Thanks, Alam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Next up, a conversation with Farah Pandit, former diplomat and expert in countering violent extremism and author of the new book, How We Win, How Cutting-Edge Entrepreneurs, Political Visionaries, Enlightened Business Leaders, and Social Media Mavens Can Defeat the Extremist Threat. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Another French Open tennis update now. In a suspended men's semifinal on Friday, Novak Djokovic and Dominic Thiem will have to wait until Saturday. The match was suspended because of rain in the French capital. Thiem took the first set, 6-2. The joker, Novak Djokovic, came back to win the second set, 6-3. And Thiem is leading 3-1 in the third set in Paris. That's where they'll pick things up on Saturday. The winner of Djokovic-Thiem will play Rafael Nadal for the men's title in Paris. Rafa bidding for a record-extending 12th men's title at Roland Garros. He defeated Roger Federer on Friday in straight sets 6-3, 6-4, and 6-2. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the June 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Next up, a conversation with Farah Pandit, former diplomat and expert in countering violent extremism and author of the new book, How We Win, How Cutting-Edge Entrepreneurs, Political Visionaries, Enlightened Business Leaders, and Social Media Mavens Can Defeat the Extremist Threat. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
For years, conventional wisdom suggested that eating red meats would increase blood cholesterol levels more than eating white meats, such as poultry. A new study led by researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, suggests that both white and red meats have the same effects on blood cholesterol levels. The study, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, also found evidence that eating either red or white meats for protein resulted in higher cholesterol readings than consuming non-meat proteins such as vegetables, dairy, and legumes. In recent years, people hoping to lower their cholesterol levels and risk of heart disease avoided eating red meat in favor of poultry or non-meat products. High cholesterol levels is considered a major risk factor for heart disease. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, India's election results. For the second time in a row, Prime Minister Narendra Modi of the BJP Hindu Nationalist Party emerged victorious. Given Modi's strong Hindu nationalist leanings, will secular India turn into a Hindu nation? We'll examine it all next on Encounter, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. This is VOA News.